just that there's rumors circulating that the general manager has said that he might lock the doors on Monday, as early as January 8th, and he has said no such thing. The San Francisco Chronicle, at the end of their article, said the general manager is behaving as if he might lock the doors. But that's a reporter having a nice ending flourish. And he has not said that. And in fact, he is working today with Laura Privis and others to ensure that there are lots of detailed plans in place to see that our signal does not go off the air. We have, that's the call to order. Now we have the roll call.
Thank you. This is the January 6th, 2018 KPFA LSB meeting. Sharon Adam is present. Ahmad Anderson. Not here. William Campisi. Not here. Chris Corey, not here. Brian Crowell, not here. Lisa Detmer. Called and let me know that she would be coming late. Anthony Best. Sasha Boutron. Sasha Boutron present. Yuri Gottsman is no longer at the LSP and submitted his resignation. Christina Huggins. Here. Sabrina Jacobs present. Janet Coburn present. Kim Lynch present. Scott Olson not here. Kim Scruggs not here. Aki Tanaka here. Carol Travis here. Andrea Turner not here. Tom Voorhees.
Here.
Tom Voorhees here. Carol Ripley. Richard Walensky here. Chris McCoy not here. Marilla Arguelles is present. Has anyone else come in since I started? So we have present, we do have four. So absences, point of order. So I pointed this out a number of times that the general manager is an ex officio member of the LSB and should be included in the roll call. Oh, I don't see that. Sorry. Okay. All right, so we have excused absences are Ahmad Anderson, okay.
So excused absences, we have Lisa Detmer going her way. Andrea Turner, Todd Anderson, and okay. So those are four. Can I have a motion? Second. Second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstention? Okay. We have an agenda. I want to make a note about a little bit of proposed change. Can I have a motion agenda, and then we'll have a discussion about whether or not people want to change it. Could I have a verbal so moved?
A point of order. Will that somehow, how can we approve it and then change it?
No, if you have a motion on the floor, then you can have a motion to amend it. That's how. That's correct. A motion to accept. Thank you. Okay. And here's William Campisi. All right. So here's the thing that makes sense to me to change. We are a local station board members, but we are also directors. And some people feel there's a distinction between being directors and being delegates, right? Between being delegates and member station board members. So we post when we're going to have a delegate assembly, and there are certain things that, according to our bylaws, which are 47 pages long or something like that, that we have to do as delegates. And so there are a couple of things today that we have to do as delegates, and they're separate things. And we had listed in the agenda that Carol sent out ahead of time that we would go into a delegate assembly to elect the directors of Pacifica National Board. So we posted we're going into a delegate assembly. But we also have to be in a delegate assembly to appoint a person to the LSB to fill Yuri Gottsman's open seat. I am suggesting that at point nine, we understand that we go into a delegates assembly. And then we don't go in and out of the delegates assembly, but we stay in the delegates assembly when we go into the executive session also, if we decide to go into a delegates an executive, if we decide to go into an executive session. An executive session for all of our wonderful people who turned out because you're concerned about what's happening, what's going to happen, where we're at. An executive session is something which is not broadcast, is not streamed, and you cannot be in. We may not decide to go into an executive session at all, or we may go into a really short one and have a little discussion and decide whether or not we need an executive session. You could go in the hallway, and then we could say, oh, we're going to be in a long executive session. You can stay and wait, or, you know, come on back in. So I think that's kind of what I'm proposing as this change in the agenda. That is that delegate, the only change I'm saying is that the delegate assembly underlined place be put at point nine. Okay?
Request for information?
Yes. Well, can I ask somebody to move that? So it's been moved. Is there a second to that? Okay. So no, I'm not doing that as chair. I'm suggesting it. Okay. On discussion, Christina Huggins has arrived. Sharon.
Okay. I'm not quite sure about the procedure. I just want to say I think it might make sense. I'm not opposing yours. I'm just saying that since we're talking about amendments, it might make sense to move the executive session to right before 13. Just because since we have so many people here, you know, we could go through the PMB reports and things like that, and then and do the delegate assembly, or however we do the delegate assembly, and then go into executive session. I think that might be more.
I understand.
That's my, all I'm saying.
Oh, Zoom. Okay, somebody came.
Is that an amendment to the motion? I'm just putting that out there as
an idea. Let me respond to you and tell you why I raised this. I think it would be a good idea for us to have the discussion about what's going on before we vote for who the PMB reps are for 2018, and so that we're all familiar with where we're standing and what our issues are. And that's why I think that's why I proposed the split. Does that make sense to you? Okay.
I just wanted to also let people know that number 5 is public comments time, so that there will be time for all of you to speak before we go into those sessions.
6. I think who came on? Scott Olson came on. Hi, Scott. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Right. We can hear you. Perfect. All right. Any discussion on the amendment? All in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. We accepted that. And now we are at approved the minutes.
I'm sorry, I have an amendment.
We just approved it, Jan.
No, we approved your amendment to the...
Oh, that's right. Okay, go ahead.
Agenda.
Go ahead. You're right.
All right, so
apologies.
I move that item 15, new business proposed bylaws amendments from October 17th, 2017, posted on PacificLa.org, be tabled in the same way that they were tabled, this would be this body voting on them, the same as when they were tabled last month, because the PMB was yet to vote on
that.
And the bylaws say delegates can only vote after the PMB votes.
Perfect. Second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion. So, number 15, proposed bylaws table. Okay. On the agenda as amended, all in favor of accepting the...
Oh.
Anthony.
I do have objection to the presence and character of one of the items on the agenda.
What?
I hope this won't take a long time, because we have so many people here who are concerned about the well-being and the ongoing existence of this station and the network. However, I do have a problem with item 9. That's somehow transformed itself from December, when it was presented as a discussion of filling a vacancy. Now it's suddenly changed to appointments.
Well, we can have the discussion in number 9, when we're in a delegates assembly. We can take that up first and have a discussion of that. That's perfectly makes sense, okay?
I
so that we all feel that we're that this body has agreed to do that.
I still would.
Okay, so put. We'll take what you're saying as an amendment to that. We're in the delegates assembly and a discussion and. And possible appointment to Bill Uri Gatzman's seat. How's that? Okay. Is there a second? All in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstain? Passes. Okay. Any other amendments to the agenda? Seeing none. All of those in favor of approving the agenda as amended, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstain? Passed. Okay. The minutes. The minutes were sent out. There have been some corrections already on the minutes. Pardon? They're on the back of the agenda, exactly. I think most of you have had a chance to read them. Is there any discussion? Janet.
Well, before I have an amendment, so can somebody move to approve the agenda?
Moved and seconded. Go ahead.
Okay. So in the roll call, I do not see Clinton McCoy listed as absent.
Okay. All right. Any other additions or corrections?
This is Steve Fletcher. On the general manager's report by Sabrina Jacobs, I made an objection that there was no manager or a representative from management at the meeting.
Okay.
And there was some discussion about that at the meeting, and I would like that to be reflected in the minutes.
Okay. So what did you want it to say exactly?
That there was an objection.
To his not being present.
The manager not being present and or a representative of management not being present at the meeting to answer questions about the manager's report.
Okay. If you would write that, that will be added, and we have a sense of that, so we don't have to wait for your... Okay. All right. Any other additions or corrections? Seeing none. All those in favor of accepting the minutes as correct. Please. Okay, we want to, the secretary wants to see what Steve writes before we agree to accept it. She's the responsible person. The longer it gets, the less likely it'll be accepted, Steve. Just as much as for your FYI. Okay. Now, we'll bring it over here for her to read it. Thanks. There was an objection to the manager not being at the meeting or a management representative to answer questions made by Steve Felton. Okay. All right. Any other corrections or comments? Is it okay with us if we just accept them all instead of voting on them one at a time? Yeah. Okay. All in favor of accepting the minutes as corrected, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstention? Okay. Minutes accepted. Announcements. Does anybody have any announcements? Okay, you have to use a microphone, Richard.
I don't know if this qualifies for anything, but I just saw an email stating that some people want to see this agenda online. I mean, I don't know how to do that, or...
Well, I don't know right now either, so we can post it later. It's... And... We can post can tell. I guess we can. Yes.
Yeah, agendas.
We need a tech support person to handle posting of the online work.
Agendas.
Janice.
Agendas should be posted to kpftx.org as part of the meeting notice.
Well, so that has been, that was great. So they can, you can tell them, you can tell that there was an agenda posted at kpft.org. Well,
it was not for this
meeting,
but it can be, should be.
We need a person willing to take on technical support for the KPFA LSB.
Okay.
Okay.
Announcements.
Announcements. This is Steve Seltzer. I wanted to announce that we're going to be interviewing, and we have been interviewing people about what their thoughts are about the crisis at KPFA. And also, we would like to videotape any of the public speakers, their comments. If they have objection, we won't videotape them. But we wanted to get the video of the people speaking, what their thoughts were.
Request for information.
Go ahead.
Who is we?
KPFA Work Week Radio.
Is there any objection from the board for this? No. Okay. And so when you speak, I think you'll ask them individually. Okay, perfect. Okay. Any other announcements? Going once, going twice. Okay, none. All right, public comments. Because there are so many public comments, normally we have 30 minutes of public comments. Yeah, thank you. Or you can just pass it around. Thanks, whatever. Well, we have a limit on how long people can speak because there's such a long list. Thank you very much. Oh, it's not a very long list. Oh, I was going to say. Okay. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people. And if we did 2 minutes each, well, 3 times 9 is 36. So we can do 3 minutes. 7. Arithmetically challenged. That's another one of my many problems. Okay. Richard, you've got to use a microphone. Are you? Yeah.
One problem here is people are going to be speaking, and then we're going to talk about what the PMB decided last night.
That's all right. Last night? Do
or
we
not,
know?
2 nights ago, whatever.
I don't know if we're. Huh? It was a right. I don't know if we are because it was a closed meeting, so I don't know what we know.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, well, let's people express their Anthony.
Yeah. Just as a courtesy to the public, I wonder if we could simply go around the table and say who we are very quickly, so they know who they're speaking to.
They're speaking to the LSB, but we took attendance, and if. Well, do all of you want to hear our names individually? No, they don't. Okay. They care not. Okay. Okay, we are actually on a point of agenda where we're doing public announcements, and we're taking their time. Go ahead.
There was a report out from Thursday night from the executive session. I can read it.
You mean the one that Serene gave? Oh, there wasn't. Okay.
Why don't we have
a PNB person? Okay. Aki, do you have the report out from the PMB? Why doesn't a PMB person read it? Okay.
This is a report out from the meeting on January, the PNB meeting.
That's PNB stands for the
Pacifica National Board.
Board.
This is a report out from the January 4th Pacifica National Board meeting. The PMB voted on some specific negotiation points with ESRT, which is the Empire State Realty Trust. The PMB voted to select a lawyer to review loan contracts. The PMB voted to hire an interim executive director. full announcement will follow after a background check.
No, we're not going to have the question now. This is the public. This is the public comment section of the meeting. What?
There was also a report out from the January 2nd. That was Tuesday.
Go ahead, read it.
I'm reading just two parts of it.
This is an official report out?
Does somebody else have that?
Lisa Detmer has just arrived.
Shall I read it? I'm reading it from online. It's been posted online.
Okay.
On Pacifica website.
Perfect.
PNB voted to correct an internal error and to reinstate the 2018 PNB affiliate director candidacy of WMXPGM Efia Nwangaza and will issue new ballots. The PNB elected Nancy Sorden, director from WPFW, as pro tem chair, including all powers accorded a chair until she is replaced after the seating of 2018 PNB directors. She replaces Jonathan Alexander. The PNB also approved the terms for two loans. The smaller one will be offered to ESRT to show good faith and will only be funded if ESRT agrees to give us more time before seizing any of our assets, and the larger one will be used to pay off the smaller bridge loan as well as the balance owed to ESRT if they agree to forbear. The proceeds from this loan will also be used to pay some other Pacifica debts. Loan repayment planning shall be a priority.
Okay. Now it is time for public comments. Sharon, you're the timekeeper, and we're going to actually give 3 minutes to each person. And Kathy, Kitty Kelly Epstein.
First, I'd like to thank you all for taking on what must feel like a thankless job. We are grateful, especially now. I host Education Today, and I don't spend a lot of time at PPFA other than that, but this seems such a serious situation that all of us who have any kind of interest in organizing, it seems like we ought to be around that. So we put together a sort of ad hoc group of a number of unpaid staff, and then we were joined by some paid staff, and we took two actions we thought you would want to hear about in support of what you are doing. One, we agreed with your position on the need for a statement for voluntary bankruptcy, and so we had a long discussion about it and got a lot clearer ourselves, and we thought you were right about that, so we decided that we would try to spread the word around in areas that we're not in, hoping to influence other board members with the recognition that this is a historic moment for progressive people and that doing the right thing is going to be historically noted. And so we hope that they are aware of that and trying to be a little cautious with where we're at. The other thing we did is something which I believe you've already mentioned. I just want to say that we wanted to encourage people to come up with a complete plan for keeping the station open no matter what, whether there's a dime or not. Obviously, we want the paid staff to be paid, but if they're not, we hope that some of them will stay around and help us keep the station running. And we feel that's critically important, not only for the listeners, but for the possibility of keeping the station alive. If we don't exist on the radio, we're not going to be able to organize very well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Craig Dunkerley.
Hello. Thank you for having me. My name is Craig Dunkerley. I'm currently serving on the KPFA CAB, which is the, as for our audience, is the Community Advisory Board. Those of you who were here last meeting of the LSB know that we delivered our annual community needs assessment. We hope you enjoy reading that. And I was not able to attend that meeting, so I wanted to come to this meeting and just introduce myself. I also wanted to extend an invitation to, an open invitation to any and all of you to come and visit one of our meetings if you care to. So onward and upward, and thank you for your service. It's a tough time, but we will make it through. Hang on.
Bill Pinkham.
Good morning. I'm Bill Pinkham from the Progressive Town of Richmond and with the Sunflower Alliance for the Bay Area and other environmental organizations. Like many folks who listened to the station, I was absolutely shocked. But I was even that it was possible that it was I'm even more shocked by the lack of transparency right from the beginning. The national board, local boards, station managers here today. What is it? Breitbart News? Huh? Are we transparent station? Now we're faced with two possibilities, neither of which is a very happy choice. Get the loan, it'll just come, just kick it down, the financial problem will just kick down the road. If we declare bankruptcy, there's no guarantee that you'll come out of Chapter 11 with unscathed. We have, as I'm sure you know, KPFA's band is extremely desirable band on FM, not the most in the Bay Area, the signal, et cetera. So it's going to be mighty tempting. Think about Fox News getting our band. That probably won't happen. But we have to act now and soon. It's just amazing that it's next week it could be all over. I'm really upset that the listening audience didn't know about this sooner. What happened? I think we got a lot of support. The pledge drive raised more money than the goal, and I think that people would have rallied around it if we knew soon. But there isn't. So God knows what we're going to do. I hope you can work it out.
Thank you. Maureen Gosling, I think it is.
I'm documentary filmmaker Maureen Gosling. I've lived here since the middle 70s, and I've listened to KPFA ever since the mid 70s. I was one of my favorite shows at the time was Chris Rockwitz's music show. I know Chris pretty well. Anyway, but I've also, all the voices, all of the people on KPFA are part of my daily life. I listen to a lot of the shows kind of whenever I'm in the car, when I wake up in the morning. I listen to Democracy Now! Whenever possible. It's like the lifeblood. And I concur with the last speaker who spoke about why we didn't have more time to deal with this. And it sounds like it's more of a national board situation, but it feels as if they were not taking their responsibility and realizing what they've got, what we have here that is such a treasure. And it's so needed now, more than ever. This is not the time for us to have this problem. We need the opposite. And I just have questions which will probably get answered about, if the debt is like 8 million altogether with, including the 1.2 million, and knowing the assets that Pacifica has, what happens to the $100 million assets that we have? Are those also jeopardized because of this situation, or is there just a way to find in the assets some way to pay this off maybe in addition to these loans or whatever. But that was a question I had. And then, let's see, what was the other one? And also knowing that there are some people who are well healed, who are progressive, who have also had lots of free promotion on the station, like, you know, the Grateful Dead and Mickey Hart and all those guys who everybody loves and just support without just by playing their music, you know. And Oliver Stone shows, you know, every pledge drive they're promoting his film. And anyway, just that there might be some people who to call upon who would be supportive, especially in this time of such great need to keep the progressive voices on the agenda. Anyway, those are just a couple ideas. I have no idea what people have already figured out or talked about, but that's just my comment. Anyway, hang in there. I really hope that this is just a bump in the road because it's just too important an asset to lose. Thank you.
Thank you. Jane Bart.
My name is Jane Bark, a phone-room volunteer and donor. I would like to ask everyone, please do everything you can to avoid bankruptcy and to WBAI and KPFA are in a really strange situation. And it's my feeling that if your husband is spending all your money, then you have to file for divorce. Yeah, I mean, we really need to divorce from WBAI. They got us into this mess. I can't understand why. It seems to me that maybe my information is wrong, but I think that WBAI have known about this problem and have been in debt for a year and a half. And yet, have they done anything to get us out of this mess? I'm saying no. Why didn't they deal with the problem when it arose? Why wait for an hour and a half and then go into panic mode now? And like I said, you know, if your husband's spending all your money, we need to file for divorce. So the antenna on top of the Empire State Building, is there nowhere else in New York they can put their antenna and not be gouged and policed by this REIT? Who's not thinking? And where are the adults in the room? Please, please look into this and save KPFA from this nightmare, which is not of our doing, it seems. It seems that KPFA can pay its bills. Why do we have to pay WBAI's bills if they're the ones that got themselves in trouble in the first place? So find another antenna. Thank you.
Thank you. Tess Wellborn.
Good morning. Tess Wellborn, a longtime listener in San Francisco. I first of all want to thank the KPFA programmers and staff and volunteers who have been extremely professional in this time when I think I would have felt like running screaming through the streets many a time, if not every other minute. And I also want to thank you members of the LSD because I know that for the past several years you have been working hard to try to find solutions to the problems of Pacifica. We can't easily divorce ourselves from any other station. Things have gotten to a point where the national board has not been able to even get through their agenda. And I would like to support the idea of bankruptcy. At this point, what we need is structural changes to get a reorganization to make sure that no part of the Pacifica network is able to encumber any other part of the network without somebody like an executive director acting as in a fiduciary way. Again, thank you so much for all that you've put up with in the strains, and please continue with your efforts to ensure that there's some kind of lasting result for at least KPFA, if not Pacifica.
Thank you.
Drew Sage.
Hello, everyone.
Chris Corey is here, by the way. Excuse me. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm going by Drew Sage today. I don't feel like my government name. I'm actually a former KPFA apprentice. I graduated from the program in 1993. That's back when it was still a two-year program. And one of the unique things about my group, Group 11 MIAT, was that we were the first apprentices to actually go completely through the program in that new building, new at the time. So just hearing this dilemma and the fact that that building that we cherished so much and still do cherish could possibly be seized, it hit home. And it's funny how a lot of people talk about lack of transparency and things of that nature. When I first heard the news, as shocked as I was, I put it on me. I gave everybody else the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, well, how could I possibly have missed this? You know, if this has been going on, you figure $50K a month and $1.8 million in arrears, you know, must have been going on for a while, so it must have been something that I missed. And, you know, then after I started talking with other people, I don't know. I just feel really bad for all of the staff, you know, unpaid as well as paid. It must, because it's a kick in the stomach for me, you know, and I feel like I'm in the periphery. And I don't know exactly, you know, how this is going to end. I would hate to see some type of knee-jerk reaction, you know, without looking at everything that could be done and trying to do what's best for this station that has equipped all of us with armaments to, if we're not working at the station, even in our own daily lives, going out into the world and have to deal with all of the political issues that we have to deal with from day to day. We get a lot of our armaments from this station. And I think that, you know, we've seen countless times there have been different situations where we've helped out, like the Pacifica Archive. You know, it's been a national thing. And if anything else, this WBAI thing could have been something that could have been put out to Eric. Since this one program could bring us all down, well, this is something that could have been put out for all of us to kind of contribute or put our heads together, do whatever. It's I don't look at it as just a WBAI problem. It can't be if what's going on with them could take us all down. And for that to be the hole that takes down the whole ship, it would really be, you know, just it's disheartening. And that's all I have to say. And I thank you all for your work. I know a lot of people are expressing their frustrations towards you, but I think you understand why, and I hope you don't take that personally.
Thank you. Zachary Running Wolf, Indigenous Elder.
Hi. I'm not as glorious about KPFA is a lot of people. I've been a Berkeley resident since 1967. This station has put up barriers to keep people like myself out of the station. One of the things I wanted to bring up is very troubling is Dennis Bernstein as a sexual harasser. He basically, there's been money paid out, Noel Hammerhand I'm talking about, and other money that also is your fiscal liability. Dennis Bernstein should be out. Brian Edwards Tanker was the sole fiscal manager at the time when $1.5 billion got taken from this station. That's another investigation with Wells Fargo as the fiscal. So there should have been an audit on that. So these constant financial barriers that keep being put up and they snag KPFA, nobody's saying, oh, why don't you snag Houston or whatever state. This is organized. The other thing is the Berkeley mayor's race has basically been promoted by your station. It's challenged by my campaign. Now Jesse Aragin has 18 convictions. We're getting radio silence on Jesse Aragin's conviction, 18 of them. So that's another problem I have, and we can pass out flyers on the 18th. He's going to the penalty stage. He should be out as mayor. Your station is saying nothing about this. The other thing is the ongoing Fukushima disaster, which my campaign is about. I consistently paint Fukushima outside your station because it's killing the ocean. And I'm going after the UC Regents because the birth of the nuclear age is right here in Berkeley. And the ongoing nuclear accident at Fukushima is killing people worldwide. And this is very, very serious. So I am tired of the walls being put up at KPFA. We call it KKK, KPFA, listener-sponsored corporate control. And these little organized foldings of KPFA, why don't you go to another station? Everybody's like, dumbass. This nice woman brought it up. Why are they attacking KPFA? The mother lode where the banks would see the one station that you don't attack because all the contributions come into KPFA.
Thank you. Carla West.
Hi, my name is Carla West. I'm a graduate of KPFA's First Voice Apprenticeship Program. And also a graduate of KPFA's news training program. And I currently work part-time in the news and engineering departments. And first, I wanted to thank you all for your service to the station being on the board. And then also, I wanted to say that I was part of the same meeting that Kelly Epstein spoke about. It wasn't an official meeting, but it was a grouping of about 13 unpaid staff members. And I just wanted to also let you know the two things we talked about. One, the need to keep the station going, or two things we decided was we really wanted to urge you to keep the station going no matter what. That's number one. And number two, to either urge or continue to urge the Pacifica National Board to vote for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, since we do need to keep the station going. And it's nice that some board members offered their money or got money together for a loan, but we don't have the forbearance agreement. And so, and the financial, the lawyers and the financial experts, I'm not a financial expert, but the experts that the board has have all recommended Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Frankie Velez. And
okay.
Baby.
Yeah, my baby's name is Madawaka. We're related to Pocahontas, and that's her name plus justice, because we want justice. I called. I'm a member. I'm a contributor. I called the talkies. I actually got to say something. I'm a housing rights activist as well, and I'm a millennial. We need you. Trump is here. Nazis are on the streets. We need to work this out. We need function, and we need cooperation in WBAI and here in Berkeley. and in Oakland, okay? Oakland and Berkeley is like the equivalent of another San Francisco. We are the East Bay. And if you guys don't do your job and they don't do their job, we're going to do what we do. We're going to do activism. We're going to be all up in your business. That's what's going to happen because we want our KPFA, and they're not going to take it from us. It's a time now for consciousness to rise. So y'all said to come to the meeting, so here I am. I brought my kids, and if you're annoyed, too bad.
Okay. This is an extraordinary meeting. This is not an ordinary meeting. For all the reasons that we know, and many things have been said here that I think we should have a quick little response, but not to everything. I will make a quick response, and then maybe some of the other board members would like to say some things in response too. And I think our remarks should be timed also. And so how about we give each board member who wants to speak 2 minutes, and I'll just start. I want to say, first of all, that the KPFA LSB has been dealing with this question for over 2 years. Our meetings are streamed. The information is there. There have been discussions about what to say on the radio. Having people argue that having bad radio is, you know, like, oh, we're so much in trouble. One of the things that I think is good about this situation is, I mean, the situation is horrible, but it's also good that finally everybody has gotten the attention of everybody is now focused. This has been something that's been brewing for probably 15 years. There have been crises for all that time, and it feels like crisis fatigue. You know, we're always about to go. We're always about to need money. But anyway, so that's a good thing. We are one organization. We are one corporation. Therefore, and we have 45 pages of bylaws, which a governance structure, which looks like one of those cartoons from the New Yorker that have all these things all over that require how do you change them and so on. And so we're trapped in a lot of ways. And our general manager has been criticized now we have been criticized for talking openly about bankruptcy. And bankruptcy is not something that is the end. It's not like going out of business, bankruptcy. Going out of business. Bankruptcy is something which can protect an organization, give us time to restructure, to deal with our debts over a long period of time. It's not a desirable state, but it is something that gives time and space. That is not. There's a split on the board. It's divided. There's a one-vote majority that is anti-bankruptcy. What? On the national board. We are not the national board. We don't make these decisions. We are the local board. Anyway, I haven't made all the points I wanted to make, but let's go to others. So I'm just going to go around the table this way rather than make a list. So
I want to thank everybody who came today. It's really wonderful to see so many people here. I believe that we are in a very challenging time with KPFA, and we see the same dynamics within the Pacifica network that we see externally. I believe that it's going to take membership participation at a new level to keep this going. Things may come to membership vote, and I hope that we will be able to mobilize the membership to support ongoing independent media, because it's necessary. And I appreciate independent media being the many voices of the many projects that all of you are involved in that you care about so dearly that you want to hear about on the air. So get ready, because we're going to need unified support to build this. And I want to say I feel very sad about the conflicts and the enemy images that people have of each other. I have deep concerns about the things that are going on at WBAI, and I have deep concerns about things that are going on, you know, across the nation. We need to find ways to find compromise across the geography and so that we can find ways to have some sustainability.
It's great to see so many people here. We've been really agonizing for the last 6 or 7 meetings over this very issue. And it should be very clear for the structure is very confusing for a lot of people. I think we need to understand that this board is primarily advisory. Local station boards are. We don't have the power to go in and say you have to do this. We deal with general things with KPFA. So our main conundrum is, and we actually passed a motion 2 meetings ago on how to deal with this, is how do we deal with this financial disaster when we don't really have enough power to deal with it. And I'd like to thank our 4 board members who have been consistently representing the best interests, I believe, of both our local station board and KPFA, Rena and Aki and TM, and Andrea have voted very responsibly to try to deal with the fiscal situation we find ourselves in. But this board's first idea before bankruptcy was a WBAR swap, because the signal of the station that is failing and has been failing for many years to get us out of this mess and to give them some money to start and change to a digital station or do something. But that station that is really the bane of the network at this point, I'm sad to say that, but it is. We value it, but it's not functioning. They have 6,000 members in the New York City area. Think about that for a moment. 6,000 members, and they're unlistenable. The people on the left in New York City are not turning on that radio station, among other people. So we have been, and the woman that said we should run down the street screaming, I certainly have felt like doing that many, many times. I'm sure everybody on this board has felt like doing that. But we actually have managed to work together in this board. We're cross-factional. We talk to each other respectfully, and I'm really proud of the way that our board interacts with one another. The problem is the other boards are not doing that. Some of them are completely falling apart, and thus the problem at the time. Thank you.
In answer to the question of why this wasn't publicized there, I sort of talked about it. The problem is that we were told that there were ongoing negotiations with the Empire State Building, that they are missing, and therefore, if you start talking about it, it affects negotiations. Transmitter is down, therefore let's keep quiet. I didn't necessarily buy it, but what are we supposed to do? Stop. I kind of wish we'd been able to talk about it before, and I think that that was one of the issues that came up. The BAI transmitter negotiation contract signed in 2007. A lot of stuff online about it. The person who signed it died. 2005, okay. And it goes to what? 2022, right? 2020, escalating up. And there's a lot more stuff in there, and it seems contradictory. But if you search online, you'll find contradictory stories about it. It's all there. But I wish we could separate ourselves from WBAI for a moment. I've been on the air. I've been at the KPFA in 1976. So I wish we could have fought. Huh? Ritual Institute. That's bad.
My name is Sabrina Jacobs, and I am the host and producer of
A Rude Awakening on Mondays at 3:30. I'm also the vice chair of the National Board, Pacifica National Board. And I've had a front row seat to a lot of these negotiations, and it's been beyond depressing. The lack of transparency has been just completely ridiculous, because we have gotten to the point where Empire State Realty Trust does not want to negotiate. A major multinational corporation, real estate corporation, and eat organizations like ours for lunch all day, every day. And we owe the money. We need to pay it. I'd like to speak to the correcting the false narratives that are going on out there, like with the fraud piece that went out. I thought that was completely ridiculous. We as LSV members have a responsibility to make sure that the correct narrative is going out. KPFA is not closing its doors. So I just want to make sure we put that out there for national law, that is not happening, okay? I didn't write down about all the questions that everybody had, but I'm more than happy to do my best in answering them. As far as the National Board is concerned, there has been a gag order that was attempted, the folks that have the majority, a very slight majority, they are doing their best to keep it under wraps. As of yesterday, Empire State Realty Trust is not interested in signing any type of forbearance agreement. So this loan business that we're fighting against is a moot point at this juncture. So let's see here. WBAI, there were attempts last year to try to correct what's been going on there as far as them not being able to pay their bills. I don't want to make any disparaging remarks about the folks that are running things there, but there was an attempt to try to correct the problem, and folks on the National Board blocked us from doing that.
Fine.
Blocked the people from trying to correct that. So, but if you have any other questions, I'll try to answer.
Sasha Futrin, and a lot of what I was going to say, you know, has been said already. The structure, the governance structure of this organization is really strange, and it's hard to understand and comprehend. This LSB, as all five LSBs for the five stations that are part of Pacifica, really, we have very little authority over anything at all. So we do send four delegates, as does every station, to the National Board, and they're the ones who decide what to do. And in fact, this debt has been known, an accumulating debt. I mean, we owe a total of $8 million Pacifica for many years, and the National Board has simply not dealt with it. We've had discussions here about what to do. I mean, we had some discussions that people on this board didn't agree with on how to set up another structure that when this happened, as it's happening now, which we saw coming clearly in the last year, we could pull KPFA out somehow and save it. I mean, legally, it's very hard to do and so forth, but some people didn't like that. So we have been thinking about it and trying to figure out what we can do. KPFA is the most successful and solvent station in the system. And since we're part of an organization like Texas needed a new transmitter, we were the only ones who had money in our bank accounts. So Pacifica took that money and bought them a transmitter. You know what I mean? And it's complicated. It's really complicated. And that contract isn't something that we could get out of. It was a terrible contract, but they could charge that because all of a sudden the World Trade Center was not available for any broadcasters in New York. So we're kind of stuck here, you know, and we're really trying to figure out what we could do. I mean, we have sent multiple resolutions, this board, to the PNB, suggesting that they do several things. We've been educated at board meetings here by our financial officer, by attorneys. The choices are not good. We decided bankruptcy was the safest. So it's not easy. It's complicated. Thank you.
Okay, give Aki. Go ahead.
Uh,
Thank you, everybody, for coming. And I can understand your concern and your anger.
And you are?
My name is Lisa Detmer. I work on KPFA Women's Magazine staff. I think everything everybody else has said, I really support. And I think this board has been struggling with this issue for a while. Again, just to repeat, we are advisory, and the PNB, which is large, unwieldy, and dysfunctional, have been the ones making these decisions. So, however, having said that, I can hear your frustration that you weren't aware of this sooner, even though I have to say all the board meetings are publicly streamed, although not all the information is available and accessible in a way that would be easy to read. But as a programmer, I have to say there's an informal gag rule at KPFA that's very difficult for us as programmers, that we cannot talk about things on the air that are about internal issues at KPFA under the guise that it could jeopardize our FCC license. So it makes it really difficult for me and I think others to go ahead and make these announcements until somehow the management informally agrees to do it, and then it gets done. So there's, so that's something, an issue that some of us, especially unpaid staff, have been upset about for a while. I'd also like to say that while this board is really functional relatively, we could be more proactive. I know I could be more proactive. We need more outreach. We need more marketing. We need more listeners, period. And we have good programming. So I think that it's important that the outside listeners are more involved and more aware of what's going on, so that there's more pressure on all of us to be more more proactive.
Hold on. Madam Chair? I'd like to get the mic again, please, for clarification.
Actually, I was drawing my...
It's out of order. Call the member to order.
Okay. Wait a minute. Other people are raising that they want to add something too. So I think that once we go around with this thing, we're going to go around if everybody has spoken who wants to speak, and we'll have a 1 minute or a 15-second addition stuff so that everybody can add the things they forgot to say that were important.
Okay, what's
so
the time
you'll
on that?
Go. You'll what's, go later. Okay.
Time, how many minutes are seconds?
You're out of order, dear. Okay. Stop it. Okay. Hey. I know we're so tense that we're giggly, but there's a lot of serious people who think that that's inappropriate. Okay, but I know. Okay. Brother Zeltzer.
Steve Zeltzer. I'm a local station board member representing the staff and with KPFA Workweek Radio. And this crisis, ongoing financial crisis, it's not something happening suddenly. It's been going on for a long time. This network has not had financial audits. And we still don't have a financial audit, 2015 and 2016. We've lost millions of dollars of money from the CPP because we can't seem to get audits done, and people are supposed to be paid to do audits. I mean, you have some questions of competency, accountability that we have to address, which are not being addressed and haven't been addressed, and that's why we're in the financial crisis we are in. The other thing that I'm very concerned about is I've been now on the board of several months, and there's been no manager to make a report to. Now, I know at commercial radio stations, the management makes a report to the staff. This is common operating procedure, but not at KPFA. And frankly, it's unacceptable. The manager is hired and has a responsibility to give a report to the local station board. You like it, you don't like it, whatever. He believes, as well as some members of this board, that it's okay that he's not here. And frankly, when you have to read about what's happening at KPFA and the San Francisco Chronicle
to find out what's happening, that's unacceptable. Now, at the last meeting, we took this up. The manager was not there. I said, look, we have to let the members know and the listeners know at KPFA what's happening. A judgment is a legal action. Everybody knows about it. It's legal. We have to let people know we're in jeopardy. This didn't happen 3 days ago when it's on the website or when it's on the Chronicle. We have a responsibility, and a lot of listeners are probably unhappy. Why did I just hear about this suddenly, or why did I read about it in the Chronicle? That's unacceptable. It's unprofessional. We need to let the membership know, let the supporters know, and we could have raised the $1.8 million, which there's a judgment for, if we'd let people know it during the time of the fund drive. Thank you.
Sharon.
I'm Sharon Adams, and I'm a listener delegate to this board. And I just want to say that casting blame is actually one of the biggest issues within the entire Pacifica network. And rather than trying to deal with issues, you know, respectfully, even if there's disagreement, people tend to go towards blame. And that is really played out at the national level. If you've ever listened to a Pacifica national board, if you can listen to it at kpftx.org, and you will see that the last meeting, it took them 2 hours to approve the agenda. We did it in 10 minutes. I timed us today. Okay, so, and there's a lot of blame, and that is the way people are communicating, and that's not the way to solve issues. It has been said that this LSB is a committee. Technically, we're a committee of the National Board, but we don't have a lot of authority or ability to do things. Pacifica is one corporation, so we're tied in. We are a committee, but we're just tied into the corporation. And I just want to tell you all what we, because I do thank you for showing up and your concern, and I want to echo what Carol Wolfley said about the membership may have to vote on these issues. This may be coming down to members voting across the network. And I wanted to say I actually write a newsletter, and I have been publishing a lot of this stuff, so anyone that wants to get that newsletter can come see me afterwards. But this LSB has actually voted to urge for the national board to do the signal swap. That's all we can do is vote to urge them to do something. And when they didn't do that and time has run out, We voted at the last meeting. We urged them to file for bankruptcy, which they also have not done. So we have tried to do what we can, but we are limited by the system. Anyway, thank you for being here.
My name's Tom Voorhees. I've been on this board for a year now. In relation to applying for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, my understanding is you have to have complete financial numbers within 3 weeks of applying for bankruptcy. And at this point in time, I don't believe we can pull those kinds of numbers together within the 3 weeks that we'll have to do that. And I may have some more to say on the next one.
My name is Janet Cobran. I'm a listener member, LSB member, former director, and former PNB secretary. Most of what I'm hearing is what I've been hearing and reading locally is fear-mongering about the need for bankruptcy. There are still other options, but this fear-mongering is becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. As far as the Empire State lease, WBAI did not sign that lease. It was the executive director at the time, and the PNB approved it. So it was a national, the station is not responsible for the lease. So I hear people blaming WBAI for this whole, uh, for the least. It's like blaming the victim in a way. And remember, Hurricane Sandy also weakened WBAI a lot. So I wanted to read something that part of what the Deputy Attorney General said to the PNB on December 14th. Quote, as a director on Pacifica's national board, each of you must act in a manner you sincerely believe to be in Pacifica's best interests. That means every decision you make must be made for the purpose of advancing Pacifica's interests, even if that means that the interests of your local station or even your personal interests are adversely affected. To do otherwise constitutes an impermissible conflict of interest that can result in your removal from the board, litigation, or even Pacifica's collapse and closure. End quote.
Well, hello, everyone, and thanks for being here today. I'm Anthony Fest. I was a Sunday newscaster for many, many years, and now I'm a producer of the Project Censored show. In our correspondence and debates here, if you haven't heard it already, you'll hear the word dysfunctional flying around an awful lot. And I think that's actually dangerous. WBAI is, as an institution, is not dysfunctional. I don't believe in witchcraft. I don't think anybody put a curse on WBAI. It's just been saddled with these outlandish expenses from bad contracts written by previous executive directors, one of whom is no longer with us to explain why he did what he did. But the station itself, you know, if we were starting from scratch and someone said, do you want to have a presence in the New York area, 20 million listeners? Of course we would. So I don't know anyone there. I don't know any programmers there. I've never lived in New York, haven't even visited that station. But so I'm not here to praise it, but I certainly don't want to bury it. And we have a new executive director. We haven't been told his name yet, but I hope that after this financial problem is dealt with, at least temporarily, I hope his next order of business will be to clean house at the management there at WBAI, because having 6,000 listeners in a metro area of 20 million is itself a grotesque kind of failure. And not to mention all the other problems that have arisen. You know, they need to be fixed, and they need to be fixed promptly, but we should not try to discard that station and its 20 million population in the metro area. The other thing is, you'll often hear people saying, oh, the national board is dysfunctional.
My name is Tim Lynch. I'm the host of Dead to the World and a music department programmer. Just a couple of things here. First, I think over the years, many of you probably heard about and participated in the factionalism at this local station board, and I hope what you're seeing now is that in the last couple of years, the KPFA local station board has made great strides in reducing factionalism. People from across the divide, if you will, have been working together for the benefit of KPFA and the Pacific National Network for some time, even when we don't agree. This is a new era I would like to see, and I hope that the Pacific National Board might someday aspire to the level of cooperation and maturity that we've been aspiring to here. Anyway, I've heard some of the comments saying, you know, where's the sugar daddy going to step in? There's a lot of rich people in the Bay Area. Sugar daddy should come in right now. And I think most responsible people with money are not willing to kick in money to a situation that's just going to continue on. And so I don't think that a sugar daddy's going or a sugar mama of any sort is going to appear anytime soon. People who have money got so because they know how to manage it. That. I also think that there's a fair bit of denial going on at the national network. There seems to be at the national board an idea that we have time. We have time to ask for more forbearance, that we have time to to organize a loan and have we have lawyers look at it and see if it's going to be good, and it's a loan to precede a second loan, and it's going to have, I think that there's a denial that we have time. We have no time. Empire State Realty Trust is serious business people who are making serious moves. They have filed all the court papers to start seizing property. And that's why some of these dates have been coming up. So you seize bank accounts of property.
Hi, my name is Bill Campisi. I was on the board, the national board, and I resigned to dysfunctional for me. I think that what this situation raises fundamentally is whether it's possible to have a national organization such as we have to run five very disparate stations, geographically disparate things. It may not be possible to do that. And it may not be wise. It might be better to have five community-based radio stations that control their station in their area, because that way people can meet and know what's going on and care about their own things. It doesn't mean that the five stations can't afford. They can afford, and they can share programming. They can share other, might share bookkeepers or auditors or whatever. But it does mean that locally based, you know, strong community based. And I think, so, I have been a proponent of a staff that permits Pacifica to dissolve or bring lawsuits to dissolve if 33% of the membership authorized such a lawsuit. And we could organize and save Pacifica. I do mean say specifically, we need to reach out, about $30,000 to $40,000, reach out to all the members and ask them to authorize us to file a lawsuit. And we could bring what's called a dissolution lawsuit. At that point, we could begin negotiations with the entire group to decide whether we're going to try to reorganize the national government structure to maintain the national government. Or whether we agree that it would be better to disaffiliate and support each other as locally based radio. This is sort of the long term. The governance structure right now creates parochial interest for a national organization. So it doesn't work.
Okay, before you start timing me, I just want to say, the people who haven't spoke, go first. But I just want to say you're filming this, and you're filming all of us. I'm just speaking to you. You can't be heard. I guess you can be heard on your thing, but you can't be heard through us because you're not on one of our microphones. But I would just say that I think if you end up using this, that it's important that you use the whole thing and that it not be edited. Okay, great. All right. Going to those who have been skipped, Marilla would like to speak.
Yeah, I must say I'm very grateful, Bill, because it's been like such a voice of sanity. This is really important to have another concept. I'd rather try to save everybody no matter how they behave. They do blaming if they don't come up with it. The membership of the 6,000 and they're having that's mind boggling. You need to pull people. If you want to be part of an association, you have to pull your weight and be proportional. And I think it can be done. I don't think it's cool. I think it's very insightful. We have to keep Pacifica, the spirit of Pacifica, going some way. And it has to be a different structure involved in that because we're going to go.
I'm Chris Corey. I'm the treasurer at KPFA. So there's quite a bit of misconceptions about how this whole thing has gotten to this point, and I hope that some of that was cleared up. I thought sharing it with Inspector try to do at the LSB and what our responsibilities are and what our capabilities are, namely extremely limited. But I think what also should be emphasized, and I think Carol mentioned this, is that this is probably the best performing asset of the five stations in the network. It's consistently profitable. It's well staffed. It has good programming. Has excellent reach. Has great listener support. In the report I'm going to review today, our year-end report, listener support is actually up 23% at the station in the last year. There's not a lot of bad things that can be said about station. So although I appreciate the anger and frustration that you all are feeling about what our situation is and what our predicament is within the organization, within Pacifica, we share that frustration with you. And we're doing our best and trying to navigate a way forward that preserves your interests and our interests, the interests of the community and the interests of Pacifica. And it's turned out to be a very difficult thing because of the intransigence of the national governing body. And so I was going to mention the exact same point that Marilla brought up about BAI having 6,000 listeners in the market. If we had that kind of reach here, I can only imagine how many listeners that we would have. So it's not that BAI needs to do more with its assets, and Pacifica as a whole needs to do more. Thank you.
All right. Any Aki, TM? I'm going to the people who haven't spoken yet. TM, Aki, okay.
Hi, my name is T.M. Stokes. I work with the recent member of the board, and I found myself on the national board. There was a point raised that I am really not sure, but as far as talking about it, about the issue on the radio. You know, there's one issue that most of the part I don't know about very well. In the past, to avoid a civil war, cross-talk back and forth, things like understanding that someone wants to complain about another part of the state that they don't do it. It's worked out often. So I get that, but isn't that a basic understanding? I understand. So that's one aspect. And the other one is that, on the national board, we have an open meeting that you can hear on the website. And then you will hear how COVID phrases have people to go. I call it first conference. So the same conference. And then we go into executive session. And so much about what's been going on in relationship with the Empire State, really, has to be kept in executive session quiet because we're negotiating. We're the corporation, and we can't spill the beans about what our strategy is. So that has always been a request that even here, I am not allowed to talk to the open public level. We're going to keep an executive session. We're trying to put all of the part of the group. So that's part of the pitch.
Aki. Say who you are. Dear.
I've been on there for about a year and a half. And the city? Oh, this is I've been there for about a year. And I'm also the secretary for the past year. And basically the solution was pretty obvious that we have large assets, and the amount of money we are earning is 8 million money. That's the only asset we have. So the solution is to get the loan, to pay off the debt, and then obviously some asset has to be sold. So the solution is obviously pretty not a staggering one. The problem we have right now is that because of the lawsuit that was handed down, we had to kind of get in there right away. And the first question is, how do you get a good loan? That's one part. And then as the deadline approaches, then you have to be ready to at least prepare for bankruptcy. And that's also an issue to be able to do. But somehow, in the board, we haven't been able to do that. But, you know, every time we try to say we should be prepared, we haven't been able to effect that. So that's the dilemma that we have. And so we need someone to clarify for that picture.
Okay, I think that's everybody has spoken once. So now we'll go around the room for, how about 30 seconds? Or do we want a minute? A minute. Yeah. Okay, a minute. Okay. Go. Okay. All right. All right, I want to make a bunch of quick points. And one is that we haven't had audits, not because we don't want to have audits, but we don't have enough money to hire the staff to do the audits or to pay the auditing firm. And there are a lot of auditing firms who will not deal with us because we're so impossible, and therefore the cost of an audit is enormous. The PNB structure is ridiculous. It is parochial by design. It has people from five different stations. And so the natural inclination is to have, it really has an unconscious alliance of don't touch us and we won't touch you. And so every time you want to have to deal with a station, everybody else or most other people will gather to prevent any interference. They do not, the PNB does not deserve blame because the PNB is elected every single year. It's not a stable group. Each year it changes. And of a pool of 120 people from five stations, and then it has eight standing committees. And one more thing is that if KPFA goes off the air, we lose our license. And that's why there's a commitment to keep us going.
Carol Wolfson, I believe that the whole network a reorganization. I think a reorganization could have been done through bankruptcy, through a process. If we had been able to work together as a network, we could have developed a reorganization plan financially, and we could have voluntarily entered into a reorganization plan for programming. We have 220 affiliates plus five stations nationwide. Those affiliates need our programming. I want to thank everybody here who posts their programming nationally so that other stations can pick it up. So how do we reorganize? We could have done it through bankruptcy. A lot of us thought that bankruptcy made more sense because we don't believe that there is the loans are solid that are being talked about. Why is it a year later and those loans haven't been finalized? And we don't believe that.
Christina Huggins. I just wanted to say I go along with everybody else as far as we need to be organized. Our dysfunctional and the structure, factional problems have kept them from making any decisions. Since we have known this is looming since December 14th, I think, or so, when they said they were going to, the Empire State Building needed to get their money, and they've had many meetings since then and unable to come to any conclusion or any decision because of the cross-factionalism. That is the very essence of dysfunction. So I believe that it's critical to reorganize, and just I wanted to say bankruptcy as far as Chapter 11 we didn't take lightheartedly. We had a bankruptcy attorney come and speak to us, and we asked questions of him for the meeting before last. And he spent an extensive amount of time just helping us out to understand what that means. It would give us up to 7 years to pay our bills, and we could maintain our organization and don't lose control. So you certainly don't lose. Okay. So dysfunctional is definitely a problem.
Chris Corey, I just wanted to make a little additional comment to Tim's comment earlier about having somebody sweep in and rescue us in a situation. Not only is it not a realistic idea, but it also doesn't solve fundamental problems. I mean, there's been bleeding in the organization for a long, long time, and bleeding needs to stop. And even if somebody, some kind-hearted person, and put up money to solve our problems for us, it would only be a band-aid for the immediate present and the ongoing issues associated with the organization as a whole.
Yeah, just one thing to keep in mind. Bankruptcy does not several times, and he's doing pretty good.
Yeah, right.
So it's chapter 11, bankruptcy.
And that deliberately different aspects of the back of the game for everyone. And what's been talked about.
It's not a very good thing, but, you know, it's a very bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But it's not a fine thing.
I really like the thing. I would like to see, and I hope that the guests today agree that the business deserves to hear a lot more dialogue.
Sabrina Jacobs here, host and producer of The Rude Awakening, and I'm not exactly sure what type of issues you were running into, Lisa, with Women's Magazine as far as discussing what's going on within the station and the network as a whole, but I've had Bill Crozier on, the interim executive director, had him on my show on Monday, this past Monday, and may have a follow-up conversation with him this coming Monday, so I just wanted to speak to that, and I did have him on back in October, November last year. As well. And as far as the factions are concerned, they have shifted as far as the national board, on the national board. So strange bedfellows. As far as bankruptcy and restructuring on a personal level, I have been for bankruptcy, Chapter 11 restructuring from the beginning. Others on the board have not. And I'd like to speak to as far as the quote by Janet from the Assistant Attorney General. As far as fiduciary duties are concerned, we have yet to see what loans are available and who's going to fund us. So the folks that have been voting for that, they have been lacking in their fiduciary duty. And I think that is a travesty. And like I said already, as of Friday, ESRT, the Empire State Realty Trust, had said no to the loans, to the forbearance. They have said no. So who has been lacking in attending to their fiduciary duty? Who was lacking in it last year?
Richard Walensky, I've been doing programming since 1976, arts program, I'm a folio editor, 1978 to 1992. And I think pretty much everything has been said here. I want to thank people for coming, and I want to move on and hear what the rest of the people have to say. So.
Sasha Futrin, and I guess I have to speak quickly. There were just a few other things that I think you need to know about. The audits are behind because the audit committee, which was I was on until I couldn't stand it any longer, functions like the P&B with people gratuitously interrupting so that no business can get done. Also, there are so few business managers at stations. We have one because we're solvent. That one business manager was doing the books for three stations, Steve. And that's why they're behind. And they weren't paid for working extra hours because there was no money. So, you know, the other thing is that there is a point to be made that we also had talked to Quincy about, some of us, about going and approaching some of our major donors from the past who are not giving money any longer. And the problem is they knew something about the insolvency going on. And they weren't interested in throwing their money away. So if you talk about that on the air, it also has a negative aspect to fundraising. Can I just, one sentence? Not only did we hear from the CFO and an attorney, the PNB, the National Board, has heard from multiple attorneys and the chief of financial officer, but they all think they know better than what everybody advised, which was bankruptcy.
Attorney General.
Okay. The Attorney General of California.
I just wanted to correct something that I don't want to give the impression that I think BAI is the problem. I agree with Anthony that BAI has been in a very difficult position, and they've had contracts that were very difficult to deal with. And I also think that the board is dysfunctional, and that's a reality, too. So I also agree with you, Sharon, that the blaming and creating of enemy images has been really problematic. I think that perhaps the PNB would be more functional if there was more trust among them. I'm imagining that they would feel uncomfortable with going through Chapter 11 because there's lack of trust that that BAI will be thrown under the bus. So I have felt for a long time that we need a mediation to help resolve some of these past conflicts. It's like a dysfunctional marriage where nobody is really resolving any of the conflicts that have been going on for 30 years. So I know that's been daunting. I know people have been saying we don't have the time or the money for that, but ultimately it leads to situations.
Well, one of the things that we should understand is bankruptcy would mean, my name is Steve Zeltzer, Workweek Radio, and KPFA LSB member. Bankruptcy would mean that the board would have to come up with a plan. And we have a board that is somewhat dysfunctional. Unlikely they would come up with a plan. That would be left to a judge. Now, a judge under the bankruptcy law would have a different plan than a board would. And the judge could, for example, violate the union contracts, get rid of the union contracts. The judge could sell stations. There are all kinds of things a judge could do which could be very detrimental to KPFA and Pacifica, which we have to think about. We wouldn't be in charge. But I think the overriding question, though, is what is our future? I mean, it is true that WBA has a low membership, but what is the membership of KPFA? It's declining. It's mainly elderly, seniors. We have to have a vision to develop a multimedia platform. We cannot just have an audio platform at KPFA and the Pacifica stations. We have to have a multimedia platform. We have to be in the community. We have to have live programming. We should have a channel, a live streaming channel at KPFA, and this thing could be live for the listeners that want to listen and see it. That's what we have to do in the future. Thank you.
I'm Tom Voorhees once again. I'm Tom Voorhees once again. I've been an independent transmitter engineer for well over 50 years. I can tell you that Carol's assertion a little earlier, if any of the five transmitters owned by the certificate go off the air. That is not it. You have a year to get back on the air again per FCC regulation. And in relation to funding, some folks here have alleged that there is no funding that has been offered. I know that to be not true because 3 days ago I was called by a retired attorney up in Oregon that wanted to contribute some money to a bridge loan. I pointed him in the right direction of the people that were responsible for that. So there is at least some money in in the pipe for that. In relation to the affiliates, there's over 250 affiliates that we cannot cut loose that are dependent on Pacifica for a good part of their program.
And I will just say that Tom knows more than I do then about that.
This is Janet Coburn again. As far as factions go, yes, there are factions, and it can be very problematic. But democracy is not about everybody agreeing. Everybody should be able to state their point of view, and everybody else should listen and they will learn from a different point of view. Bankruptcy would cost in legal fees from $750,000 to $1 million. So that would add to Pacifica's debt. The person who just left, or recently left, asked about, is there no other place in New York other than Empire State for a transmitter? Well, there used to be the World Trade Center, and that's why, and no longer, and that's why the lease became what it was, what it is. And finally, I just want to say that the general manager should be reporting to the listeners on air with call-ins from listeners. Has that been happening?
Yes, I'm Anthony Best again, and I'm going to offer only a lukewarm defense of the National Board as an institution. You know, there's no doubt that, as Bill Capizzi here says, it doesn't adequately reflect the nature of the network, and probably ought to be restructured fairly severely. However, go to the website kpftx.org, kpftx.org. That will give you the schedules for Pacifica meetings, and you can listen to them on audio streams. If you listen to a stream of the National Board meeting, PNB, it won't take you but a few minutes to see who the malefactors are. You can't blame the structure. There is some really nasty, nasty, vindictive individuals who want to stop anything from happening for reasons I really can't fathom. I guess they don't want the network to succeed. So listen to those webcasts for a few minutes, and you'll all know who the real troublemakers are.
Madam Chair, I'd like to clear up. This is Sharon Adams again. I just want to say that I originally opposed bankruptcy very strongly and really believe that, you know, people within Pacifica could come together and work things out and, you know, we could fulfill our democratic experiment. And through just the process of listening to PNB meetings and actually following what has happened, I've just come to the conclusion that even though I still don't really want to do it, it seems like the only option. I just want to say about the loan. When this lawsuit was filed, which was like a year ago, it was obvious that Pacifica was going to lose. We owe the money. So we've had a year. I mean, first of all, we could have just paid the rent all along. That didn't happen. So, you know, then, you know, people when people say, oh, well, the money's going to appear, where is it? Why hasn't it already appeared? It's too late. And if Empire State is saying they won't take a forbearance agreement, end of discussion. That lien is going on the property. I'm sorry. Probably Monday. And that's what's sad for KPFA.
This is Bill Campy. So if you want to have a national organization,
then the board needs to be restructured. The only way to restructure the board is through a court or through the member. The easiest practical way to restructure the national organization is either in bankruptcy, which allows for the restructuring and rewriting of the bylaws, or in a dissolution lawsuit, where you would get the court then to work with you to get a new structure that would support the national organization much better than the current structure. So, and or we have to organize a membership group. The membership can also do it, but that takes money because there's no way to contact them, which is another thing that has to change. Pacifica needs to have its own email server. Everybody needs to have an email address. We have to be able to talk to each other. The members of that have to be able to talk to each other. We need a form. Those are all things that have to happen if Pacifica is going to be a viable national organization.
I know there's a lot more that people would like to say, but I think this we've got to have a meeting here now. And this, we used really an hour and a half for something that usually goes for 15 minutes. And now we have to really deal with the business at hand. So I hope you understand a lot more. And thank you again for coming. And you can still stay and hear us argue or talk or whatever. Okay.
Request for information?
Yes.
So I noticed that there's no break in the agenda. Can we do one before we move on?
Does any, okay, who on the board wants to take a break right now? Who is against a break right now? It sounds like that the three people who want to take a break are more than me who doesn't want to take a break. So this will be the only break, and it's now 1:09. So at 1, I mean we've got a lot of work here. 1:25. We are on recess. Yeah. Okay. All right. We're not all here, but many of us are. The secretary is doing a count. And we need... Okay. Oh, okay. So we're good anyway. Okay. So, Scott, are you on two? You've got on two phones. Your landline and yep. Scott's here. So. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the manager's report. And, well, there's a lot of people who aren't back yet, but we said 1:25, and it's past time. I have what was issued. Okay, here is what was put out as the manager's report.
Do you have that electronically?
Huh?
Do you have that electronically?
He sent it out,
Can
I
you
believe.
Send it to the board?
Did he send that out?
No.
Well, this is what I'm reading that I understand was posted and given to the staff, no?
No.
There was nothing given? Does anybody know about anything being given to anybody? Oh, you've got to speak into the mic.
And can you post it? Can you post
well,
it to
he
the
didn't
LSP?
Tell he didn't tell me this was the GM's report. I understood this was the GM's report, so I... If it wasn't given
reading,
out,
could you post it?
Well, I
the
won't
LSP?
Read it if it was hasn't been put out, so I'll just skip reading it.
So, since I don't know what you're referencing to know if it's been put out or not, there was a statement put out a couple of days ago on the website referencing that we're in big trouble.
That's what I'm reading.
Okay.
From the website.
So that's not a report to the localization board?
No.
Okay.
No, it's a report.
Do we have a report to the localization board?
Well, I have a report on our conversation that I had with him today.
I also had a conversation with him that I could add to.
Okay. So I'll just start with the conversation, and if you want to see what he wrote on the localization board, if it's still there, you can see it. On the station web. First of all, he and Laura and others are doing a lot of detailed work to ensure that we don't go off the air. And they're spending time doing that. That's what they're doing, number one. Number two, he has been singled out in a couple of places nationally as somebody who is doing things that by discussing things is undercutting the negotiations. And and he feels like a public statement here or even in the executive committee in an executive session, and I agree with him, is not, it may endanger his job, even though he's the most successful general manager. But there are some people who have targeted him part of the discussion because of his making statements about imminent threat an argument that's why there's no forbearance agreement and his role, overstepping his role as general manager, making statements to people. So he felt like the questions that he would be asked would drag him into that, which at this point he feels it, and I agree with him, that it's more important for him to be dealing with the details of keeping the station on the air. What did you hear?
So the only thing I want to add to that per se is that he feels that there's not a whole lot necessarily to report at this time because in terms of the chess game, the next move is in the hands of the Empire State Realty Trust. We are in a wait and see moment. That what does the Empire State Realty Trust do tomorrow when court opens? Not tomorrow, Monday, excuse me, when court opens. That's going to be an essential item of things. He did share with me some of the opinions that he's gotten about what could happen as far as California collections law goes, and I won't necessarily read them, but just to summarize, it is not pretty. They can, if they file starting on Monday, begin to get judgments that will allow them to seize not just the bank accounts, but physical property, office furniture, computers, broadcast equipment, broadcast antenna. We are in a very serious situation, and I think we're going to have to see what ESRT does on Monday, but I think it's important that's and people recognize that's why the statements have been coming out, that they've been coming out. This is how serious it is. The sheriff could be notified at any time to seize bank accounts and physical property in the state of California.
Okay. I want to add something else because I had a conversation with Peter Clapp, who's the bankruptcy attorney who came here and talked to us and answered our questions. I actually invited him here today, but he was not available. And I did that at the last minute without approval just because I thought it might be worth it. I asked him a few questions about this, and he said, first of all, in answer to my questions, that we can file bankruptcy at any time, even after if the Empire State Building freezes our bank accounts and puts liens on our building, we can file bankruptcy. Now, bankruptcy involves a certain amount of preparation and has a lot of work to do for numbers and so on to do that. But the short answer to my question is that when bankruptcy is filed by us, even if it's after the freezing of our bank accounts and the liens on our building, we can unfreeze our bank accounts and we can remove the liens from our building if we file bankruptcy. So there are things that happen that we have not stopped by not filing it beforehand, and so on and so forth.
Point of order?
Yeah.
Point of order?
Point of order.
So I thought this was the GM report. So
I'm being comments. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm being. I'm sorry. We're in a very stressful situation, and I want to share as much information because some of what Quincy put, that was reported, and the fears that are in people's heads because people have not been able to consult people individually have to be dealt with. And I see your hand, 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 and so forth. So, and you're the next one, but I'm just going to finish. The other thing is he said that okay, I think that's the most important thing that he said. Okay, Steve.
Thanks for your report. Skip your report. I appreciate your efforts to explain to us what the thinking of the general manager is. But frankly, that's inadequate. We have a responsibility to get a direct report from the manager and or his representative. That's our responsibility. For example, we just heard we had a meeting of some unpaid staff members that the chief engineer may be leaving next week. I don't know if that's true or not, but that may be a situation. Is there another chief engineer available? Is somebody prepared to take his place? I'm not asking, that's something that the general manager should just let us know so that we're aware of what's happening. That's our responsibility as a local station board. This is not the first time the general manager has been busy with other things. He was at the crafts fair, very busy at the crafts fair. The previous month he was not able to be there. He was very busy. Well, frankly, I don't accept that. I'd like to make a motion that this board calls on the general manager to make himself available at the local station board meeting, himself or a management representative, to report on the business of KPFA to the local station board. There's a second.
Okay. On discussion?
You have to have a
just wanted to state for the record that although Quincy hasn't been here for the last couple of meetings, that I know that Mr. Zeltzer recently come to our board. He was here for a great deal of them and for the majority, and so was Maria. So this is not something that is a pattern of behavior that's consistent, but there have been a couple of meetings missed. And I just wanted to state that for the record. Thank you.
I would like to submit an alternative motion. Substitute. The KPFA local station board pledges to actively support KPFA management and staff in their efforts to keep KPFA broadcasting and on the internet. We express our gratitude to their ongoing commitment and dedication. I think we need unity right now.
Moved and seconded. On discussion. Anthony.
I don't think that's an alternative motion because it doesn't.
Well, challenge the chair.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we didn't even have a chair. We didn't have a ruling yet, but I don't think that motion is an alternative to the other one because it doesn't go to the subject of Steve's motion, which is the manager's personal attendance at the meetings.
I'm ruling that it's a substitute motion. He can reintroduce it, whether or not we do this, and then we can vote on that too. But right now we have a substitute motion that I'm ruling as a substitute motion. I don't know enough.
I challenge the ruling of the chair.
Okay, challenge to the ruling of the chair. And is that debatable? Is there anybody here?
Second.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, and then is it a majority vote? A straight majority vote, I think. Okay, let's do that. Let's do that. Let's do that. Okay, it's withdrawn. Okay. So, discussion. Steve,
on the
you
motion.
Want to motivate your motion?
Yeah, I want to motivate the motion.
Okay.
You know, one of the responsibilities of a manager is to meet with the staff. And as I pointed out in the discussion, even commercial stations have meetings with the manager. The manager meets with the staff. That hasn't happened after 6 months at KPFA. This is the problem. When the manager does not meet with the staff, that's a problem. Whatever you agree or disagree with the manager, he has a responsibility, he or she has a responsibility to meet with the staff. That is not happening. There's a crisis at KPFA and Pacifica. I agree with that. And it is a responsibility of the management to at least explain what their views are. And it's nice to hear some statements of hearsay about he said this or he said that or he may be planning that, but that's not adequate. We should hear from the person that is being paid to be the manager. And I find it problematic that some people on this board think that it's inappropriate to expect the manager to come to the local station board meeting. That raises the question of that is the job of the manager. That is the job of the manager to come to this local station board. And those many staff members are very unhappy, unpaid staff members, that there's been no report to the staff. What do you have when there are no reports to the staff? You have rumors, you have hearsay, you have confusion. That is not a good situation for KPFA. This motion that I made is that we expect the manager and or his representative to come and report to the KPFA local station board. Now, if he feels that it's too controversial or that he may be fired by the Pacifica executive, his job is in jeopardy, he should say that. I can't comment on it. That's what you say. I can't comment it, and let's go to the next question. That's an acceptable response. But to say that he's not going to be here, and we have to hear hearsay about what his positions are, that is problematic.
All right, I guess I got to get on it.
Sasha, Janet, Tim, Lisa.
I've got to say that I worked as staff for four radio stations, one TV station, and I didn't count the newspapers. I've never had a staff meeting at any of those places. Some were commercial, some were public. So I don't know where you worked, maybe the San Francisco jail system where you worked had staff meetings, but it's not that common to have staff meetings actually in media of the entire. The other thing is that we are in a time of crisis, and I would much rather have Quincy planning on how he keeps us on the air right now than my need to know, because I am powerless to do anything, but he can.
Janet. And after Janet speaks, could we drop down the time, because we're supposed to be out of here at 3:30, and actually they think we were supposed to be out of here at 1:30. They had the paperwork wrong. But so could we drop down to 2 minutes? Oh, we are 2 minutes.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Aside from the GM giving a report to us here, we should be able to ask questions directly to the board. And there have been, I don't know if there have been any, maybe there was one report to the listener, GM report to the listener on air, so that the listeners can ask questions, call in. And when, as other people have said, when the GM is not heard from, it's only rumors and then hearsay, and secondhand information, which I don't make my decisions based on secondhand information. I want firsthand information. I think it's a responsibility of everyone here to have firsthand information.
I support the motion.
Tim.
Well, I think in principle, more regular reports from the GM are, of course, a good ideal to have. I understand Quincy's reasoning and his need to be elsewhere today, so I'm not particularly worried about him not being here today. In fact, I'm grateful that he's out there trying to keep us on the air. In that, because that's how I feel, and that we are in time of crisis, and that we have a packed agenda, I move to table this amendment, whatever you call it, motion.
And did it include him being on the air and taking a call? Oh, no. Okay, that was something that Janet said. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Lisa. Oh, there was a motion. You did a motion to table? Oh, okay.
Hi, DeVault.
Okay, so a motion to table, according to my parliamentary, my parliamentarian. it's not going to be discussed. So all in favor of table, raise your hand. A roll call. Okay, a roll call. Adams, Sharon. Campisi, William. Motion to table. Adams, Sharon, yes. Campisi, William. Yeah, sorry. Chris Corey. Corey, yes. Lisa Detmer. Lisa Detmer, pass. Anthony Fest. Against tabling, no. Anthony Fest. Sasha Coutron, yes. Christina Huggins, yes. Sabrina Jacobs, yes. Janet Coburn, no. Tim Lynch, yes. Scott Olson, yes. TM Scruggs, yes. Aki Tanaka, abstain. Carol Travis, yes. Tom Voorhees, no. I heard that. Carol Wolfley, yes. Richard Wilinski, abstain. Marilla Arguelles. Ramsey's, Steve Zeltzer, no. Okay, the motion passes. Lisa? Yes. Four, eight, and ten, yes, and five, no. We need a copy of it so we can have it in the minute properly. Okay. So any other now you have your motion.
I move that the KPFA Local Station Board pledges to actively support KPFA management and staff in their efforts to keep KPFA broadcasting and on the internet. We express our gratitude for their ongoing commitment and dedication.
On discussion, Lisa?
Okay, so this is the kind of power politics I said from the beginning I didn't want to be involved in. We don't need any better than this, really, okay? Let's not, why are we fighting? These both can be true, not either or. It'd be nice if he was here more. I feel that way. Does anybody not feel that way? I don't know. I do. So I guess I would like to see us. Carol, I'd like to ask if you would be open to amending this to add, and in order to support Quincy, we would like greater participation with the board. Something like that. Simple. Just something like that to just say, hey, we make an, that's what I'm saying, make an amendment so that it, this is,
I'm
amending it and I'm asking you, I don't give a shit about the fucking rules, okay?
I don't accept it as a friendly amendment.
A friendly, it's not a friendly amendment, Carol? Okay.
Not to me right now.
Okay. So I just, then I'm, my time's up. I just want to say, I just really would like us to try to work along. This is not, I don't want to sit in a meeting. I'm going to leave. I don't want to sit in meetings where we're having these kind of parliamentary games. We shouldn't be fighting about this. Yeah, it'd be great. I would like if Quincy was here more. Does anybody not want him here more? I don't feel like he communicates to us at the station. It doesn't have to be who's winning, who's losing, who's the insider, who's the outsider. Okay?
All right. I'm trying to figure out where we're going.
I'd like to make a motion to table it.
You just made a motion to table? Okay. Okay, so it's a motion to table. So now everybody can speak once on the motion to table?
No.
No, you just, oh, right, okay. All right. The parliamentary expert. And it was a second. Okay. So, roll call?
Can you ask if anybody objects?
Does anybody, and then what? We're gonna vote on whether or not to table. Oh yeah, I can ask that. Does anybody object to tabling? It's tabled. Okay. Scott, you okay? He's not answering. Okay. He's good. Okay. Never mind. We'll hold hands and sing. We're gonna sing Kumbaya. We're gonna sing Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my love. Kumbaya. Okay. All right, we're moving the agenda. Treasurer's report. Treasurer's report. Crip.
All right. So I handed out the spreadsheet last time. Did everybody get a copy? Yeah. I you know what? I went back, and I know this sounds crazy, but I went back and looked for my copy in my email, and I couldn't find the copy, so I actually had to request a second one from Maria, and I got it last night. I will email it out after I get home from this meeting, and I'm really sorry that it didn't get out to you sooner.
She's out. Do you have any copies?
I have two extra copies, and
I think a motion with the table can get copies of the document.
That's what I was hoping is that the copy. Yeah, sure. I have a third copy here that's mine.
Sharon. They were passed out at the last meeting, I believe. So
it is unfortunate, Chris, that
okay,
I
don't
wish,
worry about it.
I wish we had known because I would have brought mine because I was even looking at it yesterday. But what I would like to just what I would like to get some information from you on right now is your statement earlier in this meeting where you said that listener support is up 23%. So perhaps you could just expand on that, like, in terms of, like, numbers or in terms of people, or how is that being measured?
And we did get this last week, so we all had time.
All right. So I have a summary sheet for that spreadsheet that I gave out last week. So I'll hand that up. So I went through and kind of picked out the highlights of the report. It's very difficult to read the spreadsheets. I don't know if you guys have experienced that. It's hard for me to read them, and I'm used to reading financial reports. These are really difficult. The fact that they're 8 pages long makes it confusing. And just kind of the general way that the spreadsheet is laid out makes it confusing as well. In future, what I plan on doing is compiling these numbers onto a more easy to read format, but it was more work than I was capable of committing to this meeting, unfortunately. But I was able to provide this summary sheet, which is basically bullet points off of the financial report. And so, if you have a copy of that, or when you receive it, you can use this as kind of a way of looking through the report at items that I thought were most important. So the first item is the listener support number. And incidentally, these GL codes that I mentioned in the bullet points are in the far left-hand column. So you'll see a general ledger number, and that'll help you locate the lines that I'm referring to. Some of the line items on the spreadsheet don't have a GL number because they're just part of the spreadsheet and they're not part of the general ledger. So the listener support number for fiscal year 2015, which was the previous year, was $2.455 million. This year through September 30th was $3.021 million, which is a gain of 23%, and no, to answer Carol's question, that isn't by number, it's by dollar. So the reason that our overall revenue number is down is our major donor income dropped off almost completely during the year. I don't have any explanation for why that took place. There's been some speculation about why that happened during this meeting, but I won't take any, I won't make any speculative statements without knowing any better. So our total revenue for the year was down 14%. Our operating expenses for the enterprise were down 4%. And so the net result was that our net income, we were profitable last year, but our net income fell a little over 70% from year to year. We made about $200,000 last year. So that was kind of the basic gist of it. Looking at the numbers overall, I don't see anything that kind of stands out as being like a red flag, that anything that seems like a serious problem. I do have some questions about the numbers that Maria gave me, and I hope to get together with her and ask her about them. They're kind of minor things. I think they're very minor things anyway. And maybe some of you people know. So one of the items that kind of got my attention is that I guess it's a credit card discount. That would be like credit card fees that APFA has to pay for processing credit cards. They were almost double this year from last year. And I'm not quite sure why that took place. I would like to know whether it was due to some sort of a change in the rate structure or whether it's just a change in the composition of how we're receiving funds. And if it's the latter case, then those costs are going to continue to increase over time. That becomes a little distressing. We're operating at about a 5% margin, and I think credit card fees are about 3%. And if we, I think you can hear where I'm heading with all this. The other thing that I'd like to know is what I know that it's a very difficult thing on a donor-based system, but what the prospects are for 2017 in terms of what the feeling is out there about where our listener support is heading for this year, what's being done to ensure that it's maintained, what efforts are being made to expand it, and so those would be the general questions. If there's any questions that you have that you know, I might be able to answer, I'd be happy to entertain them.
So I'd like to request that you get the answers to these questions Friday or Tuesday.
What are the members, the actual membership?
I actually don't know that.
So, well, if we could have I'm just asking because, you know, that's, it would be good to know what the membership is. Since we're talking about WDI's membership.
Right, right.
You know, they're at 6, we're at 12.
Okay.
16.
17.
Okay, well, if you can get a report. Is that 17? Is that the number? We have 17,000 members? Okay. Okay. The other thing is, a question on the benefits, healthcare benefits. You said they were cut 21%. I know that we're, you know, what is the situation with retirees? Because there's been some comment about concern that people are not going to get their benefits if there is a bankruptcy and a financial crisis. Do you know what that situation is?
I don't. So I'll have to think about it.
Okay. And also, how much are we spending on multimedia, on streaming and that kind of thing? Well, I was just asking, how much are we spending on multimedia?
I think that's actually it's actually reported in development.
Maybe you can just find that out on how much we're spending on multimedia and a streaming channel or that kind of thing. Okay.
Chris, thank you.
Sure.
I just see in your summary, overall KPFA remained profitable in 2016, and I'm going from memory because I looked at it yesterday, but I thought that our expenses were actually greater than our revenue.
Not according to all the
interesting. Could you just say that again one more time? For the record.
Are you trying to get me to repeat this?
Yes.
Is that what's going on here?
Yes.
Yeah. KPFA remains profitable. Our net profit was $187,000.
So I believe, wouldn't that show up on this document?
Yes.
On the right-hand side of the 2016. Okay. Can you point out the...
The column, it's going to be at the bottom of page 4, and it's not the far right column. That's the delta. That's the difference between anticipated and actual. So it'd be the second column from the right and the lower right on page 4. The net income, is that what you're looking for? Yeah, it's $187,540.
I want to thank Chris for his work in spite of my massive personal challenges. Thank you, Chris.
And good-looking friends and nice haircut for the meet in your town.
Okay. All right. Now.
I did make one mistake on this little on my little blurb sheet. The first sentence should have read, listener support group in 2015 by 23%. My error.
Okay, so we are now going to adjourn, recess the LSB meeting and go into the delegates assembly. And the item that's before us is a discussion. I don't know, how do we end up? Discussion and possible appointment to fill Yuri Gottsman's seat on the KPFA LSB. Yuri, as Carol indicated, sent in his resignation. He now works every Saturday, so he cannot fulfill the seat. And we have had discussions here about the fact that we have exhausted our certified official list and that the bylaws provide for appointment by the delegates of the station to fulfill a seat. I think Anthony wants to speak, and then Jan.
Yeah, I have a lot of problems here. Among them is that we didn't exhaust the list of candidates. We exhausted the list of candidates that the National Election Supervisor processed and reported. But there were other candidates whose names were written in by voters. Those candidates received votes, although the NES didn't tally them. Harry Goodman down at KPFK did tally them. Other people could tally them if they wanted to access the ballot information. So we have not truly exhausted per the bylaws, we haven't exhausted the candidate list, but bylaws say no other candidate can be found. You won't find if you don't go and look. And I've said this before on email, but the fact that NES didn't do a 100% complete job does not change the bylaws. We need to go through that list, see who's qualified as still a member, and then the first one who is, it becomes succeeds to the vacant seat. And it's not a matter of voting. It's already in the bylaws. We don't have discretion on that.
We had a vote on this in the November 4th meeting on Janet's motion. But I'll let you speak, of course.
I'm going to speak about it.
Yeah, okay. I'm just reporting to us and reminding us that we did not accept your motion. Okay, go ahead, Janet.
So as I've said before, we must honor the votes of our members and their right to include a write-in candidate. Pacifica ballots have included lines for write-ins forever. Some have argued that write-ins are for people who had not declared their own candidacy prior to the election. However, our own Ahmad Anderson was a write-in candidate, and none of you have complained about him being excluded on the LSB. Others have said that write-ins are people who just want to declare their candidacy without going through the process. I don't know how anyone who says this can prove that this is the case. But you did vote in November to not use the corrected runners-up list from the recount and have chosen to appoint a replacement. WPFW has probably been the only station that has appointed delegate replacements. Instead of having kept the replacement of Yuri Gottsman secret from the membership and finding and appointing one of your cronies, who, by the way, used to be an advocate for fair elections, there should be a process set up that includes a call out to the membership for people to apply for the seat, a review of the applications and membership status, interviews held, and an IRB election. And that's what the WPFW does.
Okay, wait a second.
that's just fair an offense. You know, we just don't need to talk to each other.
I apologize.
Okay. I've got a list, and it is Tim, and then Steve.
So I feel like we may have already talked about this. We seem to be relitigating every decision that we've made. I think that's one of the problems that happens at the PMB. Nothing's ever settled, even after a vote. So we could move on. I also think that we had a certified election result, and that if you're going to go back and say, well, somebody said your certified election result, again, you want to relitigate a motion here at the board. Some people want to relitigate an election of the certified. Let's stop relitigating and move forward.
All right. Steve wants to have a last word, and then
okay,
we're going to move forward to nominations.
Okay, whether or not you agree with the process, or if we voted not to follow the previous process. And the question is, if we have a new person to come on the board, do we have a fair process for people to volunteer to say that they're in? And was a notice put out saying that there was an open board position for people to apply for? Or was this person the only person that responded to that? I mean, if we did not make a call out for all those who would like to volunteer for the board, it seems questionable why we would just have one person and no other candidates. I mean, that's a little strange.
Two things. One, anybody can nominate now, people. Number two, Janet is going to be off the board in February. This is her last meeting. So that.
I asked if
after
there was,
the February
if there was a public
well,
notice.
Well, I'm just saying, I think
yeah,
that
I just asked if there was a public notice put out that would declare a vacancy.
It was in the agenda that was circulated,
I mean,
but
so
that's it. Okay, but you can make a nomination now if you'd like.
I would like to nominate Susan Silva. She is a past board member of FSRN Free Speech Radio News. She's also been working with children's rights. She's also been on the KPFA local station board in the past and was a chairperson for one of the first boards and has been actively involved in supporting the state for a long time. Susan, would you stand up, please? I think it's been a
So are there other nominations? Okay. Now, to Steve's point, I think that we know that Janet's seat is coming up, and there are other people who have really not been able to be active for various reasons, and so I think there are some other things coming up. So I think there will be openings coming up. So we should be looking for people. All of us should be looking for people to be on the board. And Richard has something to say.
Yeah, normally I take Steve on stuff, but I agree with him here. I mean, this is just being thrown at us, and Susan may be a delightful person, but there's been no opening for anything. There's been no information about these people. And I'm kind of in agreement here. I mean, I feel like this kind of thing.
Go ahead. Yeah. So WPFW posts the openings on their website and announces on the air that they are opening for the LSD, inviting applicants. And that's what should be done.
Sharon.
The bylaws, Article 4, Section 10, filling of vacancies, blah, 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 blah. In the event that no eligible and available candidate from the last election is found, then the delegates for that radio station shall appoint a member to the appropriate class to serve as a delegate and fill out the seat for the remainder of the term. There is no procedure for appointment, so it really doesn't matter what WPSW does. They have made a choice, and that's their choice. But we don't have to do it just because they did it. It only says appoint.
Anthony, and then Janet, and then Bill.
Yeah, I'm afraid I have to repeat myself that we did not exhaust the list of candidates.
That's going to be out of order. We've already done that. We're into nominations. That was in the part of the agenda that we were talking about whether or not to move on this, and then we opened nominations.
Well, I'll just say that it's contrary to the bylaws, but let me also clarify that clearly Susan DeSilva is well qualified, very well qualified. But I think the board, whoever thought this up, yes, just a handful of board members thought this up and did not inform the rest of the board. So that's a complete lack of transparency and really an act of bad faith toward the total membership of this LHB. I don't see why we can't take this up next month, because for one thing, people have been saying, oh, the LSBs are too big. Let's make them smaller. So I don't see that we have to immediately fill a vacancy that comes up if there are significant issues and controversy.
Janet talked twice, so we'll do Bill and then Janet talk again. Oh, okay.
Sound bad right there, but I want qualified people on our board. We have a ton of unqualified people on the PNP. And that's too much democracy part, right? We have a qualified person to sit on the board and sit on our LSB. If she's qualified to do it, let's see her. There'll be plenty of time, plenty more vacancies, get through all that unqualified stuff, put her up.
Lisa.
So, I don't want to sound like a broken record again, but this is just about trust, really. So, can we build some trust? If there's some reason when people would like to feel more included, maybe we could go out ahead of time that this is happening. I don't know. I'd like to just suggest that if people have objections, they offer a reasonable solution. Obviously, going back and counting votes to Anthony, to me at this point, seems unwieldy and unrealistic. So let's just get to the essence of what's really, people have hurt feelings. Okay? So let's feel included. Let's make sure we include people. Let's try to build trust. And I personally also agree with Bill that we need to have people who are qualified, like to have a process that's done in a fair way without being completely unwieldy and ridiculous. And I guess I would like to move that we vote on this. Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to, in the spirit of openness and the building of trust, say something else. Yuri told us this. He late. It was put in the agenda, but it's true. It did not get highlighted, and because of everything that's going on, and a lot of us writing things and reading all this stuff and being under the stress, let that ball drop. And furthermore, there's more going on here too, because neither Aki nor TM nor Andrea want to be on the PNB again. And the PNB is an onerous, horrible job. So there was a question about, oh, my God, who's going to be on the PNB and who would be qualified to be on the PNB and who would be willing to be on the PNB. And actually, I went around talking to people about who was qualified to be on the PNB, and the people that I talked to did not want to be on the PNB who are on the board now. And Susan was willing to be on the PNB, and Susan is qualified to be on the PNB. So that's another thing that's going on, and that was not shared. And anyway, so what we are going to do is you called for the voting on the first part of this, which is whether or not to appoint Susan DeSilva to the board. It's calling the question. So voting on calling the question. We're voting on calling the question.
Clarification.
We're voting on calling the question. That's right now what we're doing. So all in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. Opposed. Okay. You're opposed to calling. Okay. Okay, so we're calling the question. It's 2/3? Okay. So what was it? How many yes? Are you voting yes? You changing your vote? Okay. All right. Has the question been called? Yes. Okay. So we've only got one nominee. All in favor of accepting our appointment, Susan DeSilva, to our board, please raise your hand. Opposed. Abstaining. Okay. All right. And I do think that the Lisa made a good point. Janet, you want to make a comment? Okay. Susan, could you join our table? Welcome. Welcome. Thank you. No. Okay. Okay. Right. She's a listener. Okay. Well, he showed up sometimes, and then he said he can't do it. Okay, can I have order? Let's have order. Let's have order. All right. No, we're not. Now, it's not clear where we are. Now we're on the discussion of the... Now we're going to go into executive session. Okay, PNB reports. No, we're not. You wanted to put them together.
We're in the delegate assembly right now.
We're in the delegate assembly. Okay. Let me speak. Everybody, let me speak, and then you can disagree with me. What we did was what I intended and thought everybody agreed to, and you can play it back if you want. That the delegate assembly would cover the period where we also went into the executive session. And I did that, and I explicitly said, because I thought it was important to have a discussion about the PNB and what's happening before we elected PNB people, so that people would know what people were thinking when we were voting on their status as delegates. And so I said we were going to have the appointment discussion and then the executive session, and then we were going to go into executive session as delegates. And then we were going to adjourn the executive session and do the and still be delegates and elect directors to the Pacifica National Board. I did do that. Okay, thank you. I'm glad your memory's refreshed. Okay. All right. So now I would ask those of you who are not here just to go into the hall for a minute, and we'll let you know if we're going to have a long executive session or a short one. And if it's a short one, you can come right back. And if it's a long one, you can stay there until we're finished, and then you can come back. Or you can go home or get a sandwich or something. Or drink. You could go get us all drink. Okay. So we are now adjourned as an LSB. Oh, we already were. Okay. And we're into the delegate assembly and executive session. Oh, we were already doing it. That's right. I forgot what I was doing. Again, and okay. We have a report out from the executive session that the KPFA LSB discussed the financial and legal issues related to the Pacifica Network that were required to be happening in executive session, and it passed unanimously. Okay, so we are now in delegate assembly, and what is on the table is the election of the directors to the Pacifica National Board for the 2018 term. Yeah. We haven't opened nominations yet. So, okay, nominations for the PNB are now in order. Now in the delegates for the open session, and the nominations have to be in open session. Okay? Listeners first.
No nomination.
What? Okay. Okay, the people willing to run, please, who were nominated in a timely manner, please raise your hand and I'll call on you and you can say yes or something like that. So people willing to run, please identify yourself. Okay. For the record, the names are Chris Corey. I'm doing listeners first. Susan Da Silva. Oh, no, sorry. Tom Voorhees, Bill Campisi, and me, Carol Travis. And and the staff person who is willing is Sabrina Jacobs. So did I get that right? Chris, Carol, Bill, and Tom. So we need an election in the listener. Sabrina is, unless there's another staff person who wants to run. Right. No? Okay. Okay, so Sabrina is the PNB person for 2018 for KPSA LSB. All right. Now we need to have a vote on for three spots with four people running. And please use your yellow thing and give it to Aki because he's the expert. And okay.
No, there's
the four people are Christine, Chris Corey, Tom Voorhees, Bill Campisi, and Carol Travis. You may vote for three. You may vote for three, and you may put them in order. No? There's three.
You rank You can rank anyone or no one. So you can rank all four.
Okay.
Or three or two or one.
Okay. But so there are only three seats. So I don't know how you rank
that
four.
That will be calculated by the process.
Okay.
Or not.
Or
Janet, so you read a number one by your first choice and a number two by your second choice and a number three by your third choice.
And four by your fourth choice.
If you choose
to.
Right.
Yeah. Any of them.
Yeah. So write a number by them so Aki will be able to calculate.
You don't have to rank everyone. You can rank just one if you want. While Aki's doing that, can we start in on the meeting thing? Because we won't have, you know, or at least the next meeting.
So February, the third Saturday, is President's Weekend. Are there any people who don't want to have that on that because it's a three-day weekend? Anybody else? Who wants to have it on the third Saturday? 2-1. Well, nobody's talking, so. Okay. All right, three. Okay, so. The February meeting is the 23rd. Let's look at March. The 24th. February 24th. Let's look at, we didn't say that. 17th of February. What? I said the 24th. Oh, I'm sorry. The 17th. Right. The 17th. Okay. March. March. St. Patrick's Day. It's the 17th of March, right? Anybody objecting? I'm Irish. Among other things. Okay. March 17th. March 17th. April. Well, is everybody agree to March 17th? March 17th. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's all agree that we're doing it on February 17th and we'll have the full calendar. Janet.
I move to schedule February's meeting and postpone the scheduling of the rest of the year to the February meeting.
Okay. And do you have a date for that? Are you including that in a date, Janet, are you including that's February 17th?
February 17th.
Okay. All right. Any discussion? Any objection? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstentions. Our next meeting is February 17th, and we will deal with our whole schedule for the year at that meeting. And just stay.
What is that? That's really script.
Where's Scott? Have I lost Scott? Did I lose Scott? Hello, Scott? Oh, I don't know. I think I lost Scott. Sorry, Scott. I don't know. Don't leave.
Cleaning up.
This is Carol Wolfley. This is Carol Wolfley, Secretary, announcing the results of the KPFA Local Station Board Delegate Assembly, electing our delegates. The elected representatives to the PMB are Sabrina Jacobs as our staff representative, Carol Travis, Bill Campisi, Carol Travis, and Chris Corey.
I've just had Bill Campisi has just raised his hand.
Okay, I am resigning from the PMB.
Nominations for the opening.
Susan Silva.
Right.
I nominate Susan De Silva.
And Tom Voorhees. Okay.
And Tom Voorhees.
Okay. Let's turn in ballots. Yes. The nominees are Susan De Silva and Tom Voorhees.
Okay. Yellow pieces of paper. Pause
for a minute. One. Everybody stop moving for a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I counted Zeltzer once. Okay, wait, don't move. Richard, freeze. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Okay. 19 ballots? 19 people. Okay. Do it. Just put them in a pile.
Okay, so Susan.
Susan is on the PNB. Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Okay. February 17th. It happens automatically. February 17th, probably here, 11 o'clock. Bye. And you'll have to either have Christina as the new chair or you'll be electing a new chair. Goodbye.